Thanks for joining us at the Business Growth Cafe, where each week we select from a menu of topics for a focused discussion with an industry expert to provide insights that can impact your business's growth. With your host, Angelo Ponzi.
I am Angelo Ponzi, your host here at the Business Growth Cafe, and thank you for joining us. When I started my advertising agency, it actually started as a consultancy. Sitting in my spare bedroom, developing my solicitations, doing the work, bringing in help to support me where necessary. Over the next 13 years, it grew into a profitable full-service agency, research, marketing, PR, media buying, and planning and creative services. My guest today knows what it's like to start and grow a small business and make it large. And like the advertising business, an extremely competitive marketplace. Luke Peters is CEO and founder of New Air, a consumer products company offering a wide range of compact appliances from heating and cooling to wine, my favorite, and beverage coolers and many, many other products. So Luke, welcome.
Thanks for having me. Thrilled to be here.
Yeah, thank you. I think it's going to be fun. I've been doing a lot of B2B stuff, so this is going to be fun for me, a little B2C. So before we get started, why don't you take a few minutes, tell the audience about you and a little bit about your businesses. Obviously, we're going to get into that a whole lot today. So, you know, a minute or so on and give them some context of who you are.
You got it. I like the talk, so you have to cut me off. But
okay.
Yeah, so I started New Air 17 years ago and started just small. And I mean, it's a long story, but literally selling products out of a garage. I was a hazardous waste scientist before that, and then ended up starting the business with my wife. And right now, just to give you guys an idea on scale, so we're about 50 employees, and we're selling our products into a lot of B2B channels, into the retailers online, like Home Depot, Wayfair, Lowe's, and all those guys. Also, we have a strong B2C channel, selling direct to consumer on our website, newair.com, and we focus on wine coolers, really cool beer coolers and beer frosters are going to be coming out soon. And we'll do a lot of cooling products, evaporative coolers, portable air conditioners, portable ice makers, and a slew of other portable compact products for the home and kitchen.
Okay. Are the products you sell direct to consumers different from those you're selling into the big box?
No, they're not. It's all about channel. And about 5 years ago, 6 years ago, we made the switch where we were 100% direct to consumer. Mm-hmm. And then because of the audience that the big box stores were getting, it was easier to work with them and partner with them and sell on their platforms versus just being 100% direct to consumer.
Okay. Now, one of the things I noticed on your site is some of your products are New Air and some are not. So do you consider yourself a distributor of those products, or how is that working? Obviously, you become a channel for them as well, and then you're taking those and selling them into other channels.
Yep. Good observation. Good question. So actually, those are all ours. We have licensing deals. So we have licensing deals with Pepsi, Frigidaire, Magic Chef. So those are all of ours. And then I've got a couple of other brands that were businesses that I had started previously, but they're rolled in the New Air now. Luma Comfort, Avalon Bay. So all of the products are going to be our products.
Okay. So you're doing a licensing deal on the name, but not the product itself. It's your product itself, and you're just putting their name on it, if you will.
Yeah. So licensing, it's a whole topic to get into. It's a great way if you find a really strong licensing partner in a category that makes sense. So how it works is usually they're per category and also per geography and you know, U.S. or mm-hmm. worldwide or whatever it may be. So in our case, like as an example, we have the Frigidaire license right. for evaporative coolers and misting fans. And so it's turned out to be, I mean, we're just getting going on that. This summer was our first full summer of selling the product, and it's a great name to have.
Well, that's a great way to expand your product base, and certainly with the brand recognition that comes with those Pepsis and Frigidaire and things like that. And a lot of the products, and I call them home because some of them I'm already eyeballing for Christmas gifts because
that's great,
you know, but I think about college students and the fans and certainly the coolers, and it seems like the markets for what you're selling is pretty diversified.
Yeah, it is. Exactly. The market's very diversified. I think it's more that's a great way to look at it. And then how we look at it is how diversified can the channels be that we're selling into? Okay. And luckily we don't just have to be an Amazon channel. I know I have a lot of friends and people that I know or work with, and their products may be an Amazon only type of product. Mm-hmm. But luckily for us, you know, we can be really strong in Home Depot and Wayfair and all the home improvements in Walmart. So from a channel perspective, we're able to touch all of those, you know, diversified customers through many different channels, not just one.
So when you sell to like Home Depot, for example, is it through their online channels only, or are you also providing product for them to stock in store?
Yeah, a little bit of both. Mostly online. That's the majority of the business now. Going back, so this part of the business was only started about 5-6 years ago, right around 2013, so about six. And so we've grown the online, and now we're getting in store. So we have some small in-store placements with some of the different big box retailers, and working on growing that.
Are those mostly on a national basis, or is it regional?
It could be both.
Okay.
Could be both. Yep. Depends on the retailer.
So before we start, and we already started, I do have a couple questions I want to go back and ask, kind of my standard questions that I like to find out about. So when you think about growing your business, what keeps you up at night?
Inventory? No. You know what? It's tariffs. So,
I was going to say that the tariffs hurt you.
Yeah, the tariffs are probably... I mean, I've been doing it a long time. So inventory, you figure out after a while. No one's ever going to be a perfect demand planner. And in a situation like, you know, we have some seasonal product and we have a lot of new SKU launches. So there's a lot of guesswork that goes into that. Mm-hmm. But probably the biggest one now is the tariffs. If for industry-wide, it's going to be anybody in consumer products. Not everybody, but the majority are going to be dealing with that.
Okay. When you make the products that you have, are they your designs that are being built on your behalf, or are you buying products from other companies and redistributing with your name, labeling them?
Right. So we're working direct with the factories.
Okay.
Usually our design. Some products can't be actually designed as much, but we're working on the design of, say, the shelving on a wine cooler, the type of glass, the type of lighting, how we want it to look, the compressors, and all of these things we're working on to customize that product. Usually because we have a lot of experience in these areas and we know what the consumer wants.
Well, and that gives you a point of differentiation, right? So a wine cooler is a wine cooler is a wine cooler, but not when it comes to you. So obviously in a, I don't want to call it a commodities market, but certainly there's a lot of fans and there's a lot of coolers out there, and you have to strive to find points of differentiation for your products and your brand.
Yeah, exactly. And that's where marketing is so important, because you have to be able to tell that story. So you have to work with the factory, and you have to first understand what the consumer wants, make sure those features are put in there. As an example with wine, it's going to be nuances about shelving, you know, dimensions within between the shelving,
the
types of
stored.
Exactly. Yeah. So all of these things you got to know, and then you build it, and then you got to be able to tell that story on the back end when you're selling the product.
Okay. And now, one of the things I noticed on your site is you've got multiple companies, and as we were talking and for the first time outside, you know, they all tend to be kind of intertwined with each other. They're not totally separate and siloed organizations. So you've got obviously New Air, which almost sounds like it's the umbrella corporation. And then you've got a retail brand, which is an advertising agency, if you will, that we'll talk about in a second. And then you've got Luma Comfort. So what's the difference between Luma Comfort and New Air in a sense?
Okay, sure. So we'll start with those. And then retail band is actually separate. It's outside of it. But within the brands, within New Air, what happened was we were direct to consumer for 10 years. And from the very beginning, let's call it 2002 to, you know, 2012 or 11. And then I never thought wholesaling would be the way to go. But as kind of the marketplace changed and advertising became tougher, CPCs went up, customer retention was more expensive, it made sense to sell through the big retailers. So to do that, to test it, I started up Luma Comfort, and literally had a separate business plan, separate team, went out to market, signed up with all these retailers, had about 10 products, 10 SKUs designed from the, you know, ground up, and it worked so good. And I actually loved it, because it was, instead of figuring out all day long how to acquire customers, you have a couple big customers and you build your relationships and build the brand. So it's a different type of thought. And anyways, it liked it so much that New Air, which was already a bigger brand and more established and more SKUs, we just converted the whole model, had to change up everything about the brand to turn it into, you know, quote unquote, B2B versus a direct to consumer. Mm-hmm. And so that's how Luma started. So Luma is still, with us, and it's not the focus right now. So now it's kind of rolled into NewAir, and NewAir is now the focus.
But I'll commend you. That's really smart in what you did. Instead of, frankly, this is my perspective. You can tell me if I'm wrong.
Yep.
But instead of gambling on your core business, you created another organization that could go out and experiment in a sense and see if it was a viable approach to taking it to big box. Once you prove that model, then of course you could roll it in under NewAir.
Yeah, exactly. And the good thing is we're coming at it from a different standpoint. A lot of brands are usually in store first, and they don't know the .com, you know, so they're
right.
Or they don't know the online, actually. They're just in store.
Yeah, brick and mortar, yeah.
Yeah, this is probably the same clients you might have on your fractional CMO. So it's the same thing. They know that, but they don't know marketing. So we knew marketing, and we're going the other direction.
Mm-hmm.
And we're still, you know, figuring out the in-store and growing the brand that direction.
Yeah, years ago, it's funny, I was doing a consulting job with a plumbing product, and it was a dual shower head. And at the time, I can't say they were so unique that nobody ever had them, but at the time they were really expensive. And this inventor came up with one that was built out of plastic, and it worked great. And I did the marketing plan for them and showed how big the market was. And I got so excited about this, I traded a little equity for my time. And I actually went and sold 85,000 units to Home Depot.
Oh,
and
wow.
And I'm not a, you know, that's not my role as a sales guy, but I was so excited about this, and it was a fun project to be involved with, to see it from the inventor standpoint all the way through production and then implementation. Another question I like to ask is, what is the best business advice you've ever received and or given, if it's different?
Oh man, there's so much over there. I read so many books. So the problem with a question like that is it stumps me because there's so much. But I would say, because I've heard it so many times, is hire the best people would be the best. So as soon as somebody can't afford that in their organization, is you're always going to get, not every time, but you're going to get your return when you hire the best people.
Right. Yeah. It was somebody, and I wish I could remember the context it was. Somebody said the other day that, you know, how long does it take to do an hour project? And we used to always say in the agency business, well, we're going to put our top people on it because they can accomplish it much quicker and more efficiently than if I put a junior person on it. It's going to take twice as long or three times as long because they don't have that experience. And to your point, and for me as a benefit, you know, that people are looking for senior level people, and hence the support of the role that I take on with a lot of different organizations. If your business career as an entrepreneur was a book, what would the title be?
Oh, wow. That's a good question. What would the title be? Maybe The Windy Road to, if I had more time, I'd come up with a better one. But right now what's coming to mind is something about a windy road to creating a business.
Okay.
And all of the obstacles that are involved. And I think it would be about that because it's never a straight line.
Yep.
And I think that would be the title, and I think it would just be about some of the turning points that at the time you never actually think are going to be a turning point, but then later on in retrospect, you look back and you see that challenge and how you kind of got to the certain point where you are now.
Sure.
And why it was important to go through that.
Yeah, I love that answer, and I would almost say you sat in one of my presentations before because I actually have a slide and I talk about the road to growth, and there's all these offshoots and off turns because so many things internally can happen and externally. If you look at external pressures, whether it's the economy or competition, and it isn't a straight line. It's a lot of ups and downs. But we learn from that in order to pivot and roll that into the knowledge base as we continue to grow. If you think about, for my listeners then, whether they're in a similar vertical or just growing a business in general, what's been the biggest challenge that you have faced that my listeners can learn from?
Yeah, so on a product business, inventory is always, I mean, it's a blessing and a challenge because you need the inventory. So I would say knowing how to bring in inventory and have a way to quickly understand the marketing channels and be able to sell that inventory so you're not sitting on it too long. So that, and especially for a smaller or newer company, that's always going to be a challenge, is understanding all of those And I mean, we're still learning today, but that's something that we think we've gotten really good at.
Mm-hmm.
And then from a finance perspective, I waited too long to get a really, really sophisticated finance team. I have that now. So I'd say the earlier somebody can put that in place, the better. And it's often not, it's often maybe one of the last pieces, even like with HR, like we have an incredible director of HR that's, a definite blessing to the company, but people will put those off till later on. And as soon as you can bring in those expertise, you're going to get multiples on your value.
Yeah, well, because they're not generating revenue, so they go to the they go to the wayside.
Always, yeah.
Yeah, I know. I've been there, understand that for sure. When you talk about, and again, another lesson that when you're looking at what products to bring into the market. Now, I'm a marketer and I'm a market research guy as well. So I've worked on a lot of new product development and understanding the dynamics of the market. How do you guys determine what products that's going to be, the next SKUs in your line?
Okay, yeah, no, that's a great. So luckily, I got a great team. So first off, we work directly and very closely with a lot of factories. So there's not just one way to do it. I'm usually the guy who will have the crazy ideas, and then the more thoughtful final solution will come from the rest of the team. But anyways, how I like to think about it is I like niche. I like something that can be differentiated. I'm not super concerned about market size, and I should be. But the reason is because a lot of times you can't, a lot of times like market size data to me isn't super tangible or real.
Mm-hmm.
Like somebody might say, well, there's this many households and then this many people have an ice maker and your market size is, 5,000 or 150 million household. But the thing is, if you're not selling that in store, you're not going to touch that many households.
Right.
And if your marketing channels can't reach, you're not going to touch that. So there may be a certain amount of households, but how many are you actually going to be able to touch and reach? So let's pull that way back. I would rather have a very differentiated product that I can even get a small amount of customers, but then they're going to talk about it and share that information. Mm-hmm. So I'd either go there or I will go with something that's wide, even if there is a huge market, but maybe it's a bit of a commodity, but we know we can compete. And those are the two very different areas that I'll go into. And just as an example, we're bringing in a beer froster.
Okay. I like it already.
Everybody at work likes it too. So it's fun.
You're doing product testing?
Yeah, we do a lot of product testing. One of the guys has stole this product for a while. So it gets your beer down to 25 degrees. So, you're not going to find that if you go into a Walmart.
Right.
And you won't find it anywhere really. And it probably doesn't have a huge market reach. There's a couple competitors online, but they're different. They'll have a solid front. One of our models, we're going to be able to do a glass. I mean, we're going to be able to differentiate ourselves and get beer down to 25 degrees. So for me, I say, hey, almost every guy in America is going to be a potential customer.
Can I use that on vodka?
Yeah, it won't freeze.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's talk about kind of how do you get the messages out there? What's your marketing kind of efforts and social versus traditional versus in-store? How are you driving traffic to not only online, but to help Home Depot or Wayfair, or whatever it happens to be, find interest in your products?
Okay, yeah. And that's a great question because I think there's so many ways to do that. And most people are not going to be experts in all of the ways. So somebody might be incredible on social media and that's all they have to do. They don't have to do everything else. We're good on Instagram for a brand in our category. We probably have a little south of 20,000, but they're engaged followers.
Mm-hmm.
But that's still not going to be enough to run a business on.
Right.
So that's a component. So what we do is luckily to draw. So since we are doing B2B, luckily our eyeballs are going to be on Home Depot. They're going to be on Lowe's. They're going to be on Wayfair. Where if it was just our website, I probably would have to come up with different strategies to reach as wide of an audience.
Okay.
So it's actually a little different strategy. Is the product on the first page of our big box retailer websites? And if not, how do we get it there? So there's things behind the scene you can do. This is kind of why I started the new business, because it's an art to make. It's just like SEO in the old days, but it's SEO on Wayfair, SEO on Home Depot, SEO on Lowe's.
Okay.
Get your product to the front. then make sure you have incredible assets around it, photos, content that really talks about it. Because again, a lot of the competition is coming from brick and mortar. They don't think about those things. They're just putting a product up.
Right.
So that's one. And then part two is we do have a great direct-to-consumer website at newair.com, and we really focus on having the best specs, beautiful images, all of the collateral that's going to remove the any friction from the consumer's mind. So consumers can get all of the information they're going to want through all of those sources, and we're on multiple websites and multiple channels, and I think that's the way that we think
about it. So looking at omni-channels just to make sure you're present when they're out looking.
Exactly.
So believe it or not, we're actually getting close to the end. But I do want to ask one more question.
Sure.
And it's the elephant in the room. Amazon.
Yep.
So how do you compete? What's your strategies to compete against Amazon?
Yeah, and we compete with them. So we sell on Amazon quite a bit.
Okay.
So it's more of what you do is you have to have a channel strategy so that you can sell all, and you can build a relationship with Amazon. Like, we're meeting with them face-to-face. We love all of our partners. But you got to be able to sell there successfully and also have a great offering for Home Depot and your partners on Wayfair. So it's more about having a tailoring and having a channel
strategy.
Yeah, having a channel strategy.
Okay. All right. Well, fantastic. So just before we end then, is there... I know we touched on a lot of stuff today, and again, time flew by as it always does. I say this every show. Is there a parting suggestion or tip to the listeners out there that are in similar situations, selling online or selling in any kind of retail store, that you might want to impart on things that they should look at and pay attention to?
Yeah, and I would say... And thanks again for having me on the show, Angelo. It's a cool setup, and it was cool meeting you. And it is a fast, it's fast. So we're here to the end. So I would say focus is the most important thing. And what I've seen people do is, especially new people getting into it, is they're spinning their wheels, going too many different directions. Just kind of like get really good at one thing and grind and like push hard and keep going down that path, because usually you don't get results as quick as you think you're going to.
Okay. All right. Well, fantastic. Well, thank you so much. This has been a great conversation. I wish we had some more time, and I think maybe we'll get you back and continue this conversation. So why don't we tell the listeners about you and how they can reach you and talk about, you know, how they can go buy some products on NewAir and all that good stuff.
Sure. Yeah. And I'll get through that really quick. So we have, newair.com. Learn about the brand there if you need wine, beer, ice, air conditioning. And then also I have a podcast called the Page One Podcast with the number one. So Page One Podcast, and a new business where I help people sell these products onto the retailers. And that's called retailband.com.
Okay. And NewAir is NEWAIR.
That's right.
.com.
Yep.
All right. Fantastic. Well, thank you again for joining us in the cafe today. You can find out more about me, read my blogs, view my show videos, or listen to the podcast, which Luke did today, on my website at theponzigroup.com, or connect with me on LinkedIn. And if your business is ready for growth and you need a CMO, but you're not quite ready for a full-time person yet, I encourage you to connect with me. I'd welcome the opportunity to explore the benefits of using a fractional CMO. And lastly, please subscribe to this show. And if you're already a subscriber, make sure you encourage others and tell all your friends and colleagues about it. I'd love to have you join me and listen every week. You can do that at the Business Growth Cafe or on any of the major podcast platforms that are out there in the marketplace. Join me next week for lunch at the Business Growth Cafe. Thank you, sir.
Thanks for having me. Enjoyed it.
Thank you for listening to today's discussion at the Business Growth Cafe with your host, Angelo Ponzi. Take a moment to subscribe to this podcast and visit our website at www.businessgrowthcafe.com. Read Angelo Ponzi's blogs at www.theponzigroup.com.